I'd like to say a special word to those of you who are pastors, who shepherd the flock of God. If you've been given the call of God to serve Him by serving the church, you have given the highest, been given the highest calling and greatest privilege known to man. There is no greater cause than the kingdom of God. And there is no greater way to invest your life than to invest it in bringing people to Jesus Christ, building them up to maturity, helping them discover their shape for ministry, and sending them out in their life mission in the world. I can't think of a more exciting thing to do. If I knew a greater way to invest my life, I'd be doing it right now, because I decided a long time ago I'm not going to waste my life. You may not always get the fame or the wealth or the esteem that other professions or groups get, but you have the smile of God on your life. I felt that smile ever since I began Saddleback Church nearly 20 years ago. In 1979, I was finishing up my education in Texas, where I was studying to be a minister. And I decided I would do a study of the 100 largest churches in the United States. I personally wrote a letter to these churches, and I asked them a series of questions like, what is it that makes your church grow? Why do you think your church has grown to the size it is? And what is it that makes a healthy church? As these ministers and pastors wrote back to me, I began to read their responses, and I discovered very quickly that God uses all kinds of people, all kinds of personalities, and all kinds of different programs if they are committed to the purposes of God. One of the things that I discovered was that where churches seem to be the strongest, the pastor has been there for many years, sometimes 15 or 20 or longer years. And so I prayed a silent prayer to the Lord as a young man. I said, God, I'm willing to go any place in the world and pastor a church if you would just give me the privilege of investing my entire life in one location. I don't care where you send me, but I would like to invest my entire life committed to one single church and see that church start many other churches. Well, I got out a map of the world, and I put it up on the wall of my home. And for 6 months, I prayed about the whole world. And I said, God, where do you want me to go? I'm willing to go to any place in the world. And God very clearly spoke to me and said, you're not going to get to be a missionary overseas, but you're going to stay in your own country. And I'll have to be honest with you, I was disappointed at that, because I was really looking forward to going to another culture. I thought that would be exciting, and I thought that that's what my heart was geared toward. But God said, no, you're going to stay in the United States and go to a major city, and you're going to build a church that will become a sending church, sending out workers and leaders and missionaries and pastors all around the world. I believe that you judge the health of a church not on its seating capacity, how many people sit in the church service, but its sending capacity, how many people are mobilized for missions around the world. Because the goal of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission is to win the world to Christ. Well, I then got out a map of the United States, and I circled every major city in the United States outside of the southern part, where there tends to be a lot of churches already. And so I circled cities like New York, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, and many different cities. And as I began to pray during the next 6 months, it began to be clearer and clearer to me that God wanted me to go to the Los Angeles area and start a church. Specifically, as I prayed and studied, I found an area called the Saddleback Valley. It was a very fast-growing area, and it needed churches. There were not many churches in this area. So I wrote a letter to a director of churches for a denomination in the Saddleback Valley area, and I wrote the letter to this man from Texas. His name was Herman Wooten. I said, Dear Mr. Wooten, I'm thinking about moving to California to start a church in your area. I'm not asking for your support. I'm not asking for your money. I just want to know, what do you think about that? Is it a good place to start a church? Well, as God had worked it all out, this man somehow had heard about me, and he wrote a letter to me, and it said, Dear Mr. Warren, have you thought about ever coming to the Saddleback Valley to start a church? And our letters crossed in the mail. What I mean by that is, he got my letter before I got his letter, and they passed on the same day. And the next day when I got his letter and I read it, I knew that God was beginning to do a miracle. So in October of 1979, I came to California and I began to pray about the area, and I went up on a mountaintop and I looked over the city and I prayed, God, I'm going to invest my entire life reaching the people in this city for Jesus Christ. And I got down on my knees and I said, I now dedicate myself to you to spend the rest of my life doing this. My wife was with me and she got on her knees too, and we prayed together and committed our lives to the people of that area and to Jesus Christ and his plan for their lives. Then in January of 1980, I moved from Texas. I had my wife and I had a little girl, a daughter who was 4 months old. We didn't have any money. We were poor students. And so we saved all the money we had to rent a truck and pack the few things that we had. And we moved to Southern California in the Los Angeles area. This is an area of millions of people. And when we got there at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there were many, many cars on all of the roads and freeways. And I was overwhelmed by the size of the area. You need to understand that I grew up in a little town of less than 500 people. So I grew up in a village. And I wasn't used to being in a big city like that. But God had said, that's where I want you to go and start a church. When I first saw how many people were there and the crowds that were in this large city, I said, God, you've got the wrong person. I'm a country boy. I was raised in the village of 500 people. And yet God had put me there. Well, I had no money, I had no members, I had no friends, I didn't know a single person in that city. So I took the truck that I was driving and I found a real estate office. That's an office of a person in America who helps you find a home. And so I met a man named Don Dale, who was one of these men who helps people find homes to buy or to rent. And I walked into his office and I said, hi, my name is Rick Warren, and I'm here to start a new church. And I need a place to live, and I don't have any money. He just kind of laughed at me, and he said, well, let's see what we can do. This move that I had made was totally on faith, believing that God would help us. In fact, the first night when we were there, we were going to spend the night in the truck, sleep in the truck we had rented, because we didn't have a home to live in. Well, to shorten the story, this man helped us find a small little apartment that we could rent. He got us the first month free. We didn't have any money to pay for it, so he said, you can live here for free for the first month. And I asked this man, I said, Don, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I don't. I said, oh, you're my first member. And that's exactly how Saddleback Church started. He said, okay. And so 2 weeks later, I held the first service of the Saddleback Church in my home. And there were seven people, my wife and I and our little girl, Don and his wife and his little girl, and one other person. I then said, what kind of church are we going to be? He said, well, we want to be a church that reaches unbelievers. I'm very excited that over 70%, nearly 80% of the members of our church found Jesus Christ in our church and came to know the Lord there. And in the last five years, we have baptized over 5,200 new believers, adult converts, in the last 5 years. And God has just been gracious to us in giving us a great harvest. Well, as we began the church, I said, I'm going to have to find out what unbelievers think like. And so I said, we will start official public services 12 weeks from the day that I arrived, that I moved to the city. It happened to be Easter Sunday with the day we would start. And so for that 12 weeks, I went door to door just meeting people. And I would say things like, hi, my name is Rick Warren, and I would like to know some answers to the problems of this area. Would you mind letting me ask you a few questions? And I would say, what do you think is the greatest need in this area? And I would listen to them. And I would say, what are your greatest needs as a family, as an individual? And I had a piece of paper and I just wrote all that information down. And I listened to them for about 12 weeks, just listened to people. And then I took all that information and I wrote a letter that would be a letter that I would send to the whole community. And so we took that letter and I took it to a printing press and I had it printed and I made 15,000 copies of that letter. And then this little group in my Bible study that was meeting in my home, it had grown to about 15 people. And the 15 of us took those 15,000 letters and we folded them and we put them in envelopes and we sealed them and stamped them and we wrote addresses we took a telephone book and we got addresses from a telephone book and we wrote all these addresses down and we hand addressed 15,000 letters. And we mailed them out saying we're going to start a service on Easter Sunday. Then I said, let's practice a service before we have our first service. And so the Sunday before Easter, I took these 15 people and we went down to a high school that we had gotten permission to use. And we said, we'll use this school to meet in for church for as long as we can. And we were just going to practice. I said, I'm going to preach as if there were 50 or 60 people here so that next week when people show up, it looks like we know what we're doing. It was just a practice service. Well, the letters that we mailed out, some of the people got them a week early and came to a service a week early. And we had 60 people actually showed up at the temporary service, the dress rehearsal, the practice service for our church. And in that practice service, 5 people gave their lives to Christ. I'll never forget, I preached on Jesus will set you free. He will set you free from the burden of guilt. He will set you free from the pain of loneliness. He will set you free from the expectations of others. He will set you free from the worry about the future. And he will set you free from the fear of death. And that was my service where Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that was the first sermon of Saddleback Church. Well, then the next Sunday was Easter Sunday, and all of those friends who came the first week came back and brought their friends. And over 200 people showed up at the first service of the church. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I remember looking out on that service, and there were maybe only about 5 people who were Christians. The rest were total unbelievers. And so when I said, let's open our Bibles, nobody had a Bible. When I said, let's sing these songs, these hymns, nobody knew the songs. When I said, let's pray, many of them didn't even know to bow their head to pray. And so over the next months, we began to work with these people and they began to become believers one at a time, one at a time. And the church began to grow. Over the years, we used many different buildings. Every time we would outgrow a building, we'd move to another one. And when we would outgrow that, we would move to another one. And sometimes we were too big for a building or we couldn't even find one. We would meet outside. We would meet in the open. And the sun would come down on us and it would rain on us. And then finally, we were able to save enough money to buy a tent. And we bought a big tent and we began to fill it with people. And then we went to 1 services and then 2 services and 3 services and 4 services. And finally, we were able to build our first building 2 years ago. And now Saddleback Church has on a typical weekend service about 14,000 people who come to our worship services. Now, I tell this to you as an encouragement to say this. There are great possibilities in little beginnings if God is in it. Never underestimate the power of a small beginning, the power of one person. God can change the world through one person. God can use you. Don't limit God. Believe him for great things and believe that he'll work in your life in a great way. And he will do it if you'll just trust him. God bless you.